B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For the Royals.
In my religion.
What? Spine?
Is that...
You know who it is. Oh, it's Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
It's Hootie and the Blowfish covering REM. How do you feel about it, Hardy? How does it make you feel on the inside?
Let me hear how they handle the harmony.
Okay.
Here. Let me listen.
I barely hear it. I think it's him over himself.
Every waking hour,
where was this?
My
okay. So this is apparently being released as a single.
Oh, shut up.
By Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, that is so unnecessary.
Because it's, again, the craze of covering songs now is a thing. I mean, look at...
Well, yeah, if you've never written a song as good as that one, then you're better off covering that and releasing it.
Stop it.
All right, now, what's the Hootie
That's
and the Blowfish...
That's so disrespectful.
What's the Hootie and the Blowfish... I'm not saying they're total crap. I'm not saying they can't play and sing, or they... And they have. They've written some decent 3-4 minute, you know, pop songs. What song of theirs is better than Losing My Religion?
I don't think they have one.
I'm asking McBone.
Time?
No.
No.
It's not.
It's a good song.
Try
I like
again.
That song.
What song? What one Hootie and the Blowfish song is better than Losing My Religion? As a
Hold
song?
My Hand?
No. You know that's not true.
Only Want to Be With You?
Okay. Now you're going up my ass. Stop it.
Now, Hardy doesn't like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Let me ask you this question.
I do. So let me get to the second part because I want to explain this.
I just don't
understand. Okay.
It's not a question of not liking it. I just don't understand the passion for Hootie and the Blowfish. Are you passionate about flour tortillas? Are they the best thing ever? Or are they just a suitable thing in life? That's fine.
So they got together last year and went on tour, and they came through here, and I went. And during the course of the concert, they played this. But the best part was the setup to the song was very similar to what you're about to hear. And this video was also released within the last couple of days in terms of the explanation of their passion for REM and their music.
REM, they were such an important band for us. I mean, every band has that band that was their idols, and that was REM for us. You know, I got turned on to them right in high school, and then went to college and found, you know, three other guys who liked them just as much as I did. And the reason we picked Losing My Religion to play is because we played it for years. That's a song that was in our set for years. That's REM right there. And I just remember the first time I heard it, I saw this big blown away. So that's why we chose Losing My Religion.
So everyone in the band loves REM. They counted REM as a big influence of theirs, that whole story. Hardy, they started playing the song, and Darius Rucker forgot the lyrics.
Do we have that video?
No.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you just went on a whole spiel about how much they mean to you and how the whole band looks at REM and says, we dreamed of one day being as successful as REM because we just loved REM. And then they start the song and they've been in the set list for years. And if you go on YouTube, you can find them doing the song a million times. He messed up and forgot lyrics.
Oh, life.
And I was like, wait, you say all this great stuff about REM and then you forget the words to the song?
And here's
can't do that.
Here's what bothers me too. You're such a huge REM fan. They meant so much to us. So we're going to start covering a song. What song? Oh, their biggest hit that everybody knows.
Most famous one.
Right. Like, you know what? But I'm not saying you have to go like deep, but dude, the one I love, right? Do a rock song if you're a rock band. You know, Losing My Religion is not even really a rock song.
McCone, he forgot the words.
That look, that's a tough look.
That's it was a bad look. Everyone's like, ooh. I think it was later in the show, so everyone was probably hammered and didn't really pick up on it all that much.
This is the show you saw?
Yeah, in Mansfield last year.
It's just mindless. That's what I would expect. It's like time. I'm a huge. You know what? I'm just the biggest Van Halen fan, and me and my buddies, you know, Van Halen. So we wanted to pay a tribute to them. So we're gonna release Jump. You know, it's like you half wit. You're not even a fan of
you.
Way
to go deep.
Yeah. You're not even a fan of what you're doing. Much less of REM, so stop it. So derivative. Everything they do.
Darius has conquered two genres. Has REM?
Yeah.
Awesome. He has climbed various musical charts.
Well, we all know it is quite the struggle to find your way to the top of the country charts. Only anybody who wants to can do it.
McCone, you're a big country guy, right?
Huge country
guy. That's a big country guy.
You know who else has? Aaron Lewis from Stained.
That's actually true.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know why?
Because
it's easy. It's easy.
What does he sing?
Three chords and the truth. That's all you got to do. Then you got to cut.
He has a country
song. He tours as a country artist now.
Does he have a hit?
I don't know if he has a hit, but he tours as a country artist.
That's what he does now.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. The audience is...
Well, that's him.
Yes. Pops picked the place up for $1,500
back in 1964. This is so bad. Why would you not listen to a Stained record instead?
Because it's hard to make Stained records. It's easy to make country records.
I stand by it. I just don't think you get it, Hardy. I think that's the problem.
That's probably it. I just don't understand it. I can't decipher the lyrics.
No.
They talk about,
it's a lifestyle.
They talk about drinking beer and their favorite blue jeans and how much they enjoy it.
But
what do you mean? What do you mean? I don't understand it. No, it's look, that's why those guys all turn to country. Oh, this is easy. And these people will gobble it up and they'll show up at the shows and they'll love it. It's just so much easier. And writing like actual songs. Verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, done. Let's do it again. Go into that minor chord during the bridge and find yourself a lap steel player that can hold his own. Pay him $150 a night. It's no problem.
Shattered and broken for most of my life, but I've done pretty good with a job and a wife.
Is there a country version yet of It's Been a While?
Has he done
that in country?
Yeah,
form
he
yet?
Does. He does a couple of Stained songs in his set. He does, I think he does Home, I think he does It's Been a While, and he might do Outside. But he might twang it up a little. I'm on the outside. I'm looking in.
Brown, get the guy on the steel in the back. You're right.
Sure.
Yeah, just change it up.
Oh, he sings about you. He's so country. Where is he from? Springfield? He is. He's a Massachusetts guy. Aaron Lewis is. I like him. I hung out with him. I played golf with him once. He's a great guy. It's fun to hang out
with. You guys are buddies.
No. Wait, one time. It was like a station event thing.
Buddies.
Went out there and played. But...
Longmeadow.
Yeah, that's right. Just south of Springfield.
Right.
Yeah.
Country. I'm country.
Country.
No, you're not. You want to make money. I don't blame you. The guy can sing. The guy can play. He still has some songs in him, but oh, so much work. Actually, like writing intricate songs. How about just some easy ones?
Back to the sound on baseball. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now the pitch, and Piscotty, it's a high fly ball left field. Slater going back, still going back, at the track, right to the wall, leaping, and I think he hit it out. And Piscotty got it out. And the A's are on the board. It's a 3-1 ball game. So Stephen Piscotty homers about 10 feet to the right of the 362 mark. And the A's are on the board. And now 3-1 San Francisco.
Come on, Beetle, let's go.
Sorry. More baseball audio with fake crowd noise. You just heard that. Where does it go bad? When does this begin to go south with the fake crowds? What could be the worst? Let's think of it. Before we hear what
nothing,
might not
nothing,
sound great.
Nothing's going to go horribly wrong.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
No, not... For me, the sound in sports, and I'm across the board like this, whether it's the guy calling the game and people have like really hard and fast, you know, opinions on everything from Joe Buck to Ian Eagle to all these things. It is one of the things that I don't care as much about as other people do. So the overall sound of the game doesn't impact me. I watch it and... Yeah, I listen for the most part, but the stuff that other people pick up on and all this stuff, it doesn't affect me all that much. So I don't think it's going to go south for me at any point. At the beginning, I was with you, Beetle, and I hated the idea of them pumping in fake crowd noise and all that stuff. I've watched a couple of soccer games, one that had it, one that didn't. I actually liked it better with it, for whatever that's worth. Now, with the baseball stuff, when is it going to go bad? When it... Somebody is going to have to screw up something monumentally in order for it even to pop up on my radar. Because especially for baseball, it's a background thing. It's on when you're having dinner and doing other stuff. You occasionally glance over.
I can think of one scenario in which it would drive me bananas.
Well, okay, what?
You ever have a fan in the ballpark when you're at a Red Sox game that jumps out of their seat and goes crazy for a fly ball that gets caught in shallow left field?
At Fenway Park.
At Fenway Park,
it happens every fly ball.
You're like, the hell's wrong with you?
Well,
you ever been here before?
you ever watched
a baseball game? You know, that wasn't even close to being a home run.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
You're like, what? What's wrong with you? Should give a quiz or something at the door to see, like, you know, that you're worthy of the seat tonight. Well, I just don't want that to happen to one of the guys working the board in one of these games. Like, all of a sudden, shallow pop up to left, and it's like the guy on the broadcast that we played from Oakland, he wasn't even sure the ball was out. And I'm like, well, the crowd noise is telling us that ball's gone.
That leads me to believe that the crowd's coming from the ballpark, then. The crowd noise.
Yeah, I think it is. And so I'm like, well, I think that was a bad call. He couldn't even gauge whether the ball was out. Crowd noise tells me that thing's, you know, at Fenway, it hit the Mass Pike. Well, what's going on here? I just can't have that happen when it's not even close to being that. I can't have that. That's going to drive me nuts.
Center fielder ends up running, and he's 30 feet behind second base when he right. catches it. Yeah, yeah. Oh!
Right.
Oh,
no. Jackie Bradley's 20 feet from the warning track, under it and waiting for it, and the crowd's going nuts. You're like, what?
Because
what the hell is
you know how you watch
here?
Baseball. You're watching baseball. Maybe you're on your phone. You're not watching every single pitch, and you hear the crowd go up. You're going to look up. And then you're going to see a pop-up 30
all right.
feet behind
you. Okay, yeah, yeah. okay. That's where it could go bad.
Where it would make, that's where it make go it bad. Go bad for me a little bit. Or they're playing the same sound effect for a single that they're playing for a home run. Can't have that either.
Well, it depends on it could be
doesn't
very
work.
It could be very important in the game.
You can't have one murmur soundtrack for the quiet murmur of the crowd and then have one singular cheering soundtrack. That's not going to work. There's different levels of cheering for different events in the game. Like a single has its own level of cheering. A triple should have a different one. A home run obviously has a different one. Defensively, if you're at home, a double play, you know, don't start it too soon. Don't start it as it's developing. You know, you got to wait till it's completed. And what's that cheer sound like?
So we have two more radio calls.
Okay,
one,
let's get to them.
Dodgers radio. I'll give you the full setup first.
Okay.
Charlie Steiner, 71 years old.
Wow, still doing it, man. Still sounding great.
Calling the games from his house.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I didn't expect to hear that, but okay.
I guess not much different from a studio, but I don't know what feed he's getting into his house and what...
House? Don't love that idea already, but let's hear it. What's he do?
I'll play the call, then we can go back and play it
okay.
again.
All right.
And here's the pitch. And there's a fly ball in.
Stop.
This, see, that could be a problem.
Here's the pitch. It's already been hit.
And here's the pitch.
No, the pitch has been thrown. The bat has hit the ball already, and we
okay.
know it.
But that's not a sound effects issue. That is a delay
yeah,
issue.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Oh, no. Damn it. All right, sorry.
The crowd comes in.
Let's get it.
And here's the pitch. And there's a fly ball into left center field way back, and that one is gone. A home run.
Oh, that's nice.
It is Mookie's turn to trot around the diamond.
That's not good. That's not good.
And it's gone.
On a home run.
Nope.
So everything was off with that.
You're going to have a good guy. You're going to have a good sound effects guy. Good board off.
So he was behind the play, but then the sound effects... ended up being even more
harsh, very harsh sound effect.
That sound.
And here's the pitch. And there's a fly.
Okay, so both he and the sound effects guy are way delayed.
Oh, maybe he's running his own board there.
I don't think he has a great sound effect there in La La Land. What is that? By the way, Mookie Betts hitting a home run for the Dodgers
yeah.
disgusts me. But that's a different topic.
You think they would have been better off maybe hanging on to him just to see what happens?
Maybe.
And then signing him for a fraction of what they offered.
No, I can't wait to see Verdugo, though. That's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. We have another bad one. Jim, what's the other one from?
Well, Indians radio, they final call, they win.
Oh, okay, good.
Swing and a miss. He got him. 95 miles an hour will do it. And James Carrick had a blow-em-away kind of inning. So the Indians, they've won the exhibition season. They've taken first two from the Pirates.
Hey, leave something.
Okay, that's not even believable.
Well, first of all, leave something in the tank for your 60-game schedule, pal. Number one. Number two, what was in that catcher's mitt? Did he have one of those pie tins from the other call?
It was the table talk pie tin.
Listen to the ball go into the mitt. Holy crap, I thought it was a hit.
Catcher's mitt made of oak.
I thought it was hit.
Swing and a miss.
Miss my ass. It hit something. Somebody hit something. And that was not a ball hitting a glove.
Well, he was wearing his maple mitt today, and that's how it sounds that way.
One more time, please, Jim.
Swing and a miss. He got him.
Not a ball in a mitt.
And then all of the fireworks from all of the cities and towns across eastern Massachusetts combined and had an explosion there.
Wow.
Sounds like Zoe's backyard. That's what that sounds like.
You need some glove butter in that thing. Holy crap, that is a hard sound to emit.
You need a little oven glove. You know, put that in the stove when you get home. Wow, is that thing stiff.
Here's Mookie's home run.
Gone. A home.
Similar. Very similar.
Yeah, it's same effect. All right, somebody's screwed up.
So it can go bad. That's a little extreme in Cleveland.
So the Indians, they've won the exhibition season.
They've what?
And the fireworks really happened, though, right? This is what I hate, too. Oh, is that real, or is that put into the game as an effect?
What are they doing? They could do fireworks at the stadium.
We watch. I know, that's what I'm saying, but it's an exhibition game. Do they really light off all those fireworks?
Well, they
won the season. They just didn't win a game. They won the exhibition season.
Do they do that during every regular season win? I don't even know.
I don't know either, I mean, but
is that progressive still? I want to call it Jacobs Field every time I talk about Cleveland. But they barely had fans the last few years. They blight all those fireworks off? What a waste.
And James Carroll.
There's a guy in Rentham that will light those off for you. No problem. No problem at all.
Win the exhibition season. We're going to celebrate by lighting off some fireworks and dumping some paint cans on the neighbor's property.
James Carrington.
Have your fireworks stopped, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're done.
It seems like it's over.
Yeah, thank God.
It was a fad. It didn't last. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we feel about the sound effects once things get going.
Delay issues.
Delays. You can't broadcast from your home and be calling a game. That should be against the rules.
And here's the pitch.
And here's the pitch. And it's like the guy's rounding third base and heading for home. And Steiner over here doesn't even know what's going on. How does he not hear that? How do we hear that, but he doesn't?
Because
so he has to call it off the monitor.
It's like when you were at home and Zoe was at home and you guys had the delays going back and forth. It sounded fine to you, but to everyone else, it sounded like crap.
Okay.
That's why.
Fine. That makes sense. All right, let's get to what we were going to get to. That is slogans and phrases on the back of NBA jerseys. There's still a lot of discussion about this. We'll touch on that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub. How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Telephone number. NBA is allowing their players to have certain phrases on the back of their jerseys. There's a long list. Have you seen the list, Artie? Have you guys talked about this? I was away last week.
No, we didn't really get into it in depth, and I saw the list once, but I can certainly have it up here again.
It's 29 different phrases.
This is not what I was thinking when the NBA said they would allow, you know, messages on the back of jerseys. I just figured, oh, they're going to let the players pick their own message.
Do you like the idea of doing this, number one?
Sure. Why not?
I don't. I just think that it's opening a door here that the NBA didn't really want to open. And I am all for the causes that most of these players are fighting for and believe they're going to have a better platform by playing than not playing. And they are free to say and continue to talk about specific cases and specific issues that they feel strongly about. Good for them. That's great. And they're going to use sports as their vehicle. Good. So they issue a list of 29 phrases, which players, by the way, don't even seem thrilled with. Jaylen Brown himself said he would like to see more options for players to wear on the back of the jerseys. He said he would like to see some additions. Quote, "I'm very disappointed in the list. I would like to see more options available to put on the back of our jerseys for issues and causes such as now. I think that list is an example of a form of limitations. I was very disappointed in the list." Jaylen Brown, to bring it back to the Celtics. That's what he says. Mark Spears of ESPN says the list includes these phrases. Black Lives Matter, say their names, vote, I can't breathe, justice, peace, equality, freedom, enough, power to the people, justice now, say her name, etc. The list is, again, 29 different phrases that have been approved by the NBA. Because I would just say this, Hardy, are there not other equally important issues that a player may feel strongly about? Like, let's say, for example, freedom to the people of Hong Kong. Is that allowed on the jerseys in the NBA? I'm just curious, if LeBron has changed his mind and is now willing to stand up for the people of Hong Kong, could he express that on his jersey?
Well, he was and then he wasn't, so he would have to change his mind again.
When does the jersey phrases expire? When will we be allowed to wear these on the jerseys until?
Mm.
In fact, if you're letting me put a phrase on there, I could put whatever the hell I want on the back of the jersey, right?
Well, that's what I assume was going to happen.
That's not what's going on. You're limited to your phrases.
Like, here's the phrase I want. Now, if it was going to be something either, you know, a profanity or something that they would seem as inflammatory rather than helpful, then they could probably veto it. But to give them the list, said, no, you can pick one of these. Now, it kind of goes against what they were hoping for, I guess.
Now, you had Adrian Wojnarowski tell a Senator bleep you last week in an email. That was a pretty significant story last week. The senator's point being that, you know, if you can have a Black Lives Matter statement, that in his mind, the opposite of that is supporting the police, because in his mind, you can't possibly do both of those things. And for a lot of people, you can't possibly do both of those things. But that was his point. And to which I would say, as much as I don't agree with any of that senator's politics, the guy's got a point. If you're going to open up the jerseys and we start using the jerseys as your place to express something you want to express.
Right.
Well, why is it one particular issue? Well, what other issues can we get on there? Who do we submit to? Who's the czar of the jerseys? Who's the jersey king that we must run our slogans by?
I would think like guys like Enes Kanter might have some other messages that they want to get out there that aren't necessarily related to either Black Lives Matter or I Can't Breathe or group economics. Group economics is one that some of these require a lot more explanation. And I think like just run-of-the-mill general public, I didn't know what group economics was in reference to. I'm like, okay, I think I probably know, but I had to look it up. So some of these, and maybe that's what they're hoping for. Oh no, good. I want you to know what, how many more, or see us, hear us, respect us, whatever. What's the deeper meaning? What's the cause behind it so that people will investigate it? But if it's not what you want investigated, well, too bad. These are your list to choose from. Enes or anybody else who might have another, you know, but like a global issue that they
and you know
address.
Why it sort of annoys me? Because I feel like that particular message, any of the approved 29 phrases, what that message is about, has already, in a short amount of time, become a very commercialized thing. How many commercials have you seen, and how many corporations have you seen that have started to exploit that message for their own good and for their own advertising campaigns on television every single day?
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
If not for a means to an economic end, certainly for an image.
Yes.
It's all about branding now.
And so I would say to Jaylen Brown, Jaylen, you're right. You're right. You should be able to support whatever it is you want to support. And for him, we know what he is passionate about based on what he's been doing prior to coming back to joining his team. And no, I want to say that Black Lives Matter, but I want to say it in my own way. And I'm not going to pick from a predetermined a la carte menu of phrases that are considered safe by the NBA. Jaylen Brown is right and the NBA is wrong. And the NBA opened the door. They wanted to do this to get players to come back and agree to play because players had legitimate concerns about providing a distraction when they believe there are more important things going on in the world, which there are. We all acknowledge that. So if this is what you want to do to empower your players and let them say things that they want to say, well, then why are you all of a sudden giving them a list to pick from? What's the point of this? And why is it only one particular topic that you're willing to let your players speak on? Why is that? And Jaylen Brown's right. It's a form of limitation. We are being limited in what we can say about this. And frankly, you're being limited, period, on what it is you can say things about. So I'm with Jaylen Brown on this. And this is why I think it would have been better for the league to say, no, use your platform. And when you go to the podium, I think what we played earlier is better than what's going to be on the back of the jersey, because the back of the jersey is going to carry so little meaning once these games start. It is. That's not impactful. What's impactful is what these guys say and what some of them have even done. Some of them have, as we know, Jaylen Brown has taken to the streets. That had far more of an impact than anything he's going to put on the back of his jersey for the NBA playoffs. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. And he knows it too. Jerseys. You open that door. Here you go. And now you got to let, if you're being fair, you let people put whatever they want on the back of those jerseys.
Well, you're either allowing the player.
Which can end up going the wrong way.
No, you're.
For your image.
It's tough to say, yes, you can have a voice and then limit the voice at the same time. And there's limitations in all forms of speech in terms of what is allowed, and you can't do anything that's going to be, you know, that's going to incite violence or is going to be almost universally offensive in its message. But there's plenty of stuff that they could have on the back of their jerseys that's not on this list that wouldn't fall under that category of either being insightful or profane or anything else. So why can't they? What's the issue?
The league has opened itself up to criticism from others outside the league. They have opened themselves up to criticism of people that are against the messages that they will be using and will be expressing. And you know what would have been less of a distraction? Allowing people to use their platform to speak for themselves in their own words. That to me would be more impactful than a little phrase on a jersey that the NBA will try and sell and the NBA will highlight as them really contributing to major change. And what we know is the players are going to be the ones that do things with what they say and their actions, not their jerseys. This to me is a waste of time. It is. And they'd be better off coming back and putting their names on the jersey like we normally do. That's the purpose of the nameplate on your jersey, so we can identify all of the players easily. That's why every major sport does it. That's what they should have done. So I think this went the wrong way for them.
Yeah.
It's a distraction now. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Your thoughts on this, your thoughts on baseball sound effects. And, of course, everything from the day, including the good, positive news on both the NBA and the NHL when it comes to testing. All this on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Wake up! lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, Beetle, Hardy, and McCone. 617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Jake is in Andover on the NBA. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. No, I got to agree with you guys in terms of the NBA is really digging their own grave with having this. Because, like you said, a good example is all of, you know, it's obviously a predominantly black athletic sport in terms of the athletes. But you have the influx of the Asian culture, influx of the Middle East, the Europe culture, different things like that. And again, there's more than just this predominant reason going on in America. You know, it's a global sport at this point. And then you're also adding in the fact that, you know, what if you're an athlete in the NBA and you don't exactly believe in these things? And a quick example already, I think, was when James Harden wore a mask that, like, indicated something with police. He was basically forced to make, you know, a whole apology thing, and he had to take it off and apologize to different million people. So it's like, it's taking in way too many things to put into this, and it's almost like, again, you're limiting stuff, you're limiting, you know, the global aspect, you're limiting personal players' point of views, and it's really just going to cause a lot more, you know, turmoil and separation amongst the players, because they might even turn to like a mob mentality and say, well, this player wore this and we don't agree with that part of that sentence, so now we're going to alienate him. So it's
okay,
just,
but that could happen with anything. What I'm saying is that, is it worth it to go through all of that over something that is so trite and is so overdone and unoriginal as putting something as a message on the back of the jersey? No, you know what would be far more interesting to every adult is to hear James Harden speak about how he feels about something. And then hear another player speak about how he feels about something. And maybe those two guys think they disagree, and maybe they have a conversation together while they're all there in Disney World, and something productive comes out of it. I don't know. I just think that, to me, is far more interesting and productive than slogans on the back of a jersey. Now, mob mentality, that can happen based on anybody's comments. But I can tell you it's far more interesting to hear someone speak on their thoughts, which they have the platform to do, than put a word or two on the back of the jersey so that the NBA can display how much they care.
Yeah.
That's probably what bothers me the most about it.
And for
it's for image purposes of the league.
For Jaylen Brown and the other guys, it's not so much about the number of messages that's allowed. It's or the number, but you know, not the right kind. It's like, you know, we know when we're being placated. We know when we're being treated like there are some serious people playing in this league. There are some people with some real thoughts, and they're not, you know, thoughts about flat earth. You know, there are some people with some legitimate concerns and have real concerns about being used either consciously or just by means of circumstance as a distraction to all this stuff that's going on in the world. So when you agree to let us do something so that we feel better about engaging in this and going forward with it, don't do it in a way where it looks like we need to be, you know, watched over during this. The whole point of this is to have some expression going on. And when you limit the expression, then you're, I understand you think you're doing the right thing, but it's really kind of continuing the problem a little bit. It's a step in the right direction, but it's not enough. And they messed it up there at the very end. With the limiting the phrases and them deciding what the phrases would be. Like, well, what then? What are we doing?
Well, how about Jimmy Butler's idea, which more than 30 players reportedly liked and were willing to also request with him, which was he didn't want to have anything on the back of his jersey. He wanted to leave his jersey blank. His quote was, "If I wasn't who I was today, I'm no different than anybody else of color. And so therefore, I don't want my name. I want nothing." Jaylen Brown, I think, spoke about this as well. I'm going to attribute this to him. I believe it was him. He said, I really like that idea. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, you know, that sort of gives some awareness to the people who are not in the news. For all the names you do hear in the news, this will give to those cases where someone didn't have a cell phone to capture the moment.
Right.
And so I want to remember those people too. And so I like the idea, and he was considering going along with that. But 30 players reportedly like the idea of having blank jerseys in the NBA. No, that's not approved. No blank jerseys. It's not as easy to sell. It's not great. It's not as good for the image. A blank jersey? What? We can't show that on ESPN. We could show it, but it's like, what are we showing? Blank jersey. Then we'd have to explain that.
We'd rather have
something really, you know, dumbed down. That is in no uncertain terms what it is.
We can't say nothing. Jimmy say, no, we're not saying nothing. We're actually saying something with the nothing.
They can't have it be blank. No. No, not allowed.
Getting a little cerebral for us there, Jimmy. I don't know. We're just going to go ahead and say no on
that. I mean, could there be anything less offensive than nothing at all? No, we're going to go with nothing. Nope, not allowed. You must have something. It just shows you the ridiculousness of it. Pat's in Somerville. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how you doing? Big fan of you guys.
Thanks, Pat.
I agree with your point. I'm an educator that works in a related field to this, but I do think there's two kind of clarifications that need to be made to that overall point. At the end of the day, is it an empty corporate slogan? Absolutely. But you're dealing with a league that, since the dress code in the early 2000s, has been trying to sell predominantly young black men to a larger audience. And sometimes, you know, there's going to be some corporate sort of HR type of situations that they're going to feel are appropriate. Whether or not it's an effective form of protest, you know, it's probably, if it's corporate and, you know, on the back of a Disney jersey, it's probably not going to be, you know, anything too radical. But for that Senator Hawley to be sending this email from a state that doesn't even have an NBA team to all these reporters, you know, saying that all lives matter and, you know, all that sort of stuff, I don't think that's a genuine free speech issue. It seems more like a sort of just trolling and trying to kind of stick your finger in the eyes of those.
Yeah, and then
people.
Playing the victim, of course, as well at the end.
Yeah.
You know, he's the victim
of
Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah, it's sticking your finger in someone's eye, and then, you know, the second that they, you know, it's just silly, childish behavior. But also with the Hong Kong and the China stuff, you know, again, I think we can all have issues with what's happening to the Uyghur population there and all the human rights issues. But again, to bring that up in this context of police brutality towards unarmed black men in America, you know, all of us have ordered cheap stuff off of Amazon. All of us have, you know, benefited.
Pat, you sound like you don't exactly know the context of that, which is that the NBA was in the middle of that controversy just a few months ago. Just a few months ago, they were a part of that controversy. They were in on that issue.
Stand with Hong Kong.
What was that? 6 months ago?
Yeah, probably.
More than that. We're losing track of time. When were they in Hong Kong? I mean, when were they in China?
Maybe last fall.
It's more than 6 months ago. No, it's fair to bring up because the NBA is showing that they are only willing to endorse the messages that they want players endorsing.
October, November last
year. Okay, so October of last year. Where in a league that wants you to believe that they're all about civil rights, they're only about civil rights on their terms.
As long as it doesn't screw up a billion-dollar TV deal with China.
And so, wait, there's also, it's you're a hypocrite to have purchased anything from China and yet also say, wait a minute, China, you're wrong about Hong Kong. And that's not the deal. That's not their deal. I mean, how can you possibly even avoid that anymore? Like, no, that's relevant to the NBA because the NBA pretty much tried to silence their players on that issue back in the fall. That's absolutely relevant to the conversation on the NBA and their players. It's fair game to bring that up. Nick is in Worcester. Quickly, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, the fireworks are still going on in the weekends here. It's like people are launching M-80s. It sounds like a firing squad.
Fireworks
like
still happening there.
Yeah.
What a drag.
Wow.
Where was that? What town was
Worcester?
Not surprised.
You got anything on that?
Not surprised.
Worcester guy, Tim McCone. What's happening out there? They get that ballpark done yet, by the way?
They're making progress.
That thing coming along?
We're on schedule.
Can they host the Blue Jays by any chance?
Why don't they call in the guys who are doing the floors here? These guys are tearing through this place. They're having problems completing the stadium in Worcester.
They're crushing it.
Get this crew out there. Those guys will slap that sumbitch together. Don't you worry about it.
These guys are no joke.
They are not. The screw around time ended the second they showed up.
How many are there? Three?
I don't know.
Three guys? Four?
Feels like more than three.
I don't know. A couple more. So let's say maybe five. There might be two more down the back. Crushing it, though. Looks good.
They're getting a lot more work done today now that we're not out there every commercial break asking them about their materials.
We're still checking in periodically. 90 seconds headlines. We're right back with the fourth and final hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.